Maradona turns like a little eel and comes away from trouble. Little squat man comes inside Butcher, leaves him for dead. Outside Bennett leaves him for dead and puts the ball away. And that is why Maradona is the greatest player in the world. He buried the English defence.
I don't believe it. David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup finals.
Oh, oh. Ronaldinho makes it 4-0.
Like Betamax, you do not make them like him anymore. What more can you say?
Suarez switching the play to Neymar. Neymar, great opportunity. And already it's a goal for Barcelona. Messi was involved. Suarez was involved. Neymar applied a classy finish. Zidane just shows it to Gilberto Silva and then pirouettes away from him.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we also have Joe Colangelo with us. Mr. Colangelo, how are you?
How are you, Reg? I'm good.
Good, good, good. Keeping warm or what?
Trying to.
Exactly. Got a busy show today. As usual, we're going to go through the news. We've decided to add another segment to the show, which is Top 5. And today, I believe it's going to be the Top 5 transfer busts of all time, all leagues. So we'll discuss that towards the end of the show. We're also going to finish our discussion that we had last week about the transfer market and finish off with any other thoughts and views that we might have about different leagues that we discuss. So, jam-packed. We'll try and get into this immediately, but before that, let me give you the contact information. So, for those of you that follow the podcast, know you can reach us on the website at www.footballweekly.com and football spelled FUTBOL, regularweekly.com. Also on Twitter, you can reach us at Reginald Dino. Like I told you guys last week, we're now on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. There's different ways to subscribe to the podcast as well. And there's also a way to listen directly from the site now. So if you don't want to download or subscribe, you can still go to the website and just play it directly from the website. Just trying to make it convenient and easy for everybody to listen to the podcast. And I believe we were able to do that. So without any further ado, Joe, do you have anything to add to the people?
No, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get into this, Reg.
Ready to go. Okay. All right. So as usual, guys, sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this. Well, this week's show starts off on a sad note again. Last week's show started off on a sad note. Just seems like every week there's a football player who loses their life. In Germany, a player by the name of Bernard Malanda, better known as Junior Malanda, who plays for Wolfsburg, was involved in a car accident where he was killed while he was a passenger in the back seat of an SUV that was speeding through rainy conditions. The vehicle veered off the road, went through a guardrail, hit a tree. Junior Malanda, who was in the back seat, not wearing a seatbelt, was ejected from the vehicle and killed at the scene. Under 20 player for the Belgium national team. Friends with all the big name Belgian players. He was friends with Eden Hazard's brother, Lukaku, Morales. Everybody on Twitter and social media were sending condolences out to the family, and it's pretty much a who's who in Belgian football that was sending out messages. So it's just Another life gone too soon. Another 20-year-old player. Last week we spoke about the Anzhi midfielder, another Russian league, who was killed with machine gun fire. And this week we have another 20-year-old dying at Joe. Do you have anything to add? Or
I just, not much to say. I know what you're saying. It was really just awful, like, that these guys, is it any different than someone, you know, that we hear about, a quote-unquote regular person? No, of course not. It's just really tragic when these guys really have, you know, everything set. They've already been a success, but who knows what they could have been, not only, you know, for soccer, you know, for their football career, but it's just awful. Like, it's almost like it's been happening a little bit too often. I mean, once isn't often enough. That's really, I mean, this guy was going to be saying set for some, you know, pretty big future, maybe senior call up soon. Like, it's really tragic again. Like, we just talked about this last week. So
it's so young too, right? It's like 20 years old. Can you imagine? And it's just, wow.
Well, yeah. And like I said, like, their life was, you know, they had a future. They knew it's carved out. It's going to be in football. And he had a pretty bright one too, from all reports and stuff. So just really, you hate to hear that. And I think, like you said, you called up the community on social media and whatever, just really, you know, embracing the sympathies for him. And it's just an awful thing to really everyone in the football world have to deal with, for sure.
Yeah, most definitely, definitely. And they always say things like this happen in threes, but let's hope not, right? So
yeah, let's hope we can avoid that.
Yeah, 2 in 2 weeks isn't a good way to start off the year, but hopefully this will be the end of it. So, all right, moving on to the next topic, we have a winner in the Ballon d'Or voting.
Yeah, so kind of what we expected. I mean, well, we were expecting a curveball.
Yeah, we were expecting a curveball. We wanted a curveball, but
yeah, we got the right winner.
We got the right winner.
We got the right winner.
For those of you that don't know who won, I'll play this little clip for you.
Benzema free at the far post at the moment, but free enough is Cristiano Ronaldo. Chance to run at Musacchio. Benzema, decent save. Ronaldo's in there. It's a goal. Took a deflection on its way in, but he'll be claiming it. Di Maria is in. Angel Di Maria. Cristiano Ronaldo's in the centre. Likewise, Isco. Cristiano Ronaldo. They got there in the end. 3-0 to Real Madrid.
The right guy won, right?
I think for the calendar year, you can't deny that he was the best player. For sure, he won. I mean, he was, you know, how many goals did he score? 60-some-odd goals?
Yeah.
I mean, not more. Like, he 22 assists. He had the best calendar year. He was the best footballer on the planet, I think, for the calendar year.
It pains you to say that, I know, but
it does pain me to say that. I'm just happy it's 2015 and we can get on to hopefully someone dethroning him.
Yeah.
Like, did you see when he accepted his award?
I didn't see the awards, but
I heard. Thierry Henry is classic. In the background, as he makes this noise, you give him a look like, really? how can you go from on the same stage, class personified, and how he acts too with Henri to, I don't know, my bias comes out. Like I said, the worthy winner in terms of performance on the field. Here's another guy. I'm not asking everybody to be a saint and be like the quote unquote good guy, but man, he's hard to like.
Well, not if you're Portuguese, but
or a woman,
I guess.
Females like him too. But,
yeah. Exactly. Cristiano Ronaldo wins another Ballon d'Or, and FIFA releases the World 11. Let's give the team
position. I don't know.
Hard
to argue in net. Can we start there? I mean, that's
For sure. That's the only. The only player you could really put in there. That's Manuel
Neuer.
Think
there's anybody else but Neuer?
Right now, defense. I don't know.
I think Lahm we're good with.
Philip Lahm, yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
no problem with Philip Lahm, even though he moved to center mid. But
our two guys that they put in the middle,
David Luiz and Thiago Silva. Now,
well, okay, yeah, because on some of them, I guess they have.
Oh, you have a different. You have a different list.
It's the same list. I think it's the same. They just put them in different spots. They have David Luiz, and we have Sergio Ramos. But I guess.
That's
Ramos on the
Thiago has to be in the middle, right?
Yeah. I'm good with Silva.
No, yeah, I'm good with Silva, too. It's just David Luiz.
On a calendar year, maybe not, but I won't argue Silva. I think we could both argue David Luiz. Like, nah, I don't
know what's going on with that. I don't know how you pick David Luiz.
I mean, like, he scores spectacular goals, but, you know, I thought your job as a defender wasn't to, I don't know, call me crazy, but maybe solidify. I mean, he's a calamity back there sometimes.
So you're putting him in there because he scored 3 or 4 goals in this,
yeah,
in this season?
Yeah, I mean, like, he gives up both 10, so I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's not a good return on investment for a defender.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how you put this guy there.
You know, I just totally disagree with that. I mean, totally. I mean, if you're going to put him in there, how do you not put Mats Hummels in there?
Well, that's it too, right?
We can argue that. I mean, already last week he might be the best modern day, one of the best modern day center backs. I mean, you have to argue hard. A guy like Thiago Silva would probably be the best partnership.
Or maybe even, I don't know if Kompany had a good year last year either.
Oh,
but,
we talked about it last year too, Vincent Kompany. I mean, didn't they not win the Premier League? I don't know. But I don't know if the Premiership just doesn't get enough love here, do they? Again.
Well, there's not one
FIFA
player.
Again, I guess with David, because he was the PSG. I don't know. I don't agree with that one. Sergio Ramos, I think we're both, like, shaking our heads there too.
Well, you put this guy at right or left back. I don't know how you put him as a fullback.
I don't think so either. I think it's, again, I scratch my head again. FIFA, although they've gotten it right with the Ballon d'Or, they said, hey, not so fast. We're still FIFA.
Well, the Ballon d'Or is really those three players. If you picked any one of them, it was like, okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
You could say that. You could always make an argument against Messi or against giving it to a goalie. But in the long run, you'll always come back to like, yeah, I can see why they gave it to him. But Ramos?
No,
why
I
is this guy, this guy? This guy's a clown too.
Yeah, and if you look at when they break down who the coaches voted for and national team captains, I cannot believe how many people, and of course with our own Benito Floro, Canadian men's soccer coach, had Sergio Ramos in the top three.
Well, maybe he does stuff that I don't see.
I don't know. I mean, are we going to start putting Pepe in there? Like, are you kidding me?
Well, be surprised if he...
But I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. Those two I have beef with. And again, it's all subject to our own personal bias and everything like that. Everyone, you can go to a pub and argue this for a year.
Hours and hours. Yeah, years, I would say. Not even hours, for sure.
Exactly. So, but I think everybody can agree with David Luiz and Ramos shouldn't be on the team. Any rational football fan should be able to see that.
Are FIFA, really making this about, you know, the fan, like the, not the diehard fan, but the peripheral fan, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what I fear, you know? It's like, they're just so worried about growing the game. I mean, it is the most popular game in the world. What else you got to grow? Let's get the right guys.
Like the NBA All-Star starters are voted by the fans. You might as well let the fans do this.
NBA or NHL or they're voting Major League Baseball, but, you know, voting them in. Get online and vote. You know,
right.
Like, you got a Kobe Bryant starting last year when he played 8 games or something like that.
He didn't play any games last year.
Yeah, sorry, any games. Yeah, exactly.
He missed the whole season.
Maybe went to 8.
He was picked as a starter.
So. Right? Like, FIFA being FIFA, I guess. Do we have much argument in the middle? I mean, maybe it gets a little...
In the midfield?
Yeah, I mean, Toni Kroos, I think we can all say, yeah, for sure.
For sure. Di Maria?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think so, too.
Here they have him as part of the midfield trio, and then they have... the guy, again, no one likes Iniesta more than me. Is 2014 his best? I don't know.
I don't think so either.
I think maybe you put Mascherano, but Mascherano just had a strong World Cup, I guess. I mean, he wasn't the best with Barca, so I guess, you know, maybe not him either.
But I have a list of the players that...
Oh, I know who I put in there. Before you go, Reg, I think we talked about this. Yaya Touré is in my FIFA 11.
Well, that's where I was kind of going, sort of. But I have a list of the midfielders that were on the list.
Okay.
So I have, there was Xavi from Barca, James Rodriguez, another fantastic player.
What am I thinking here?
Bastian Schweinsteiger was there, Vidal, Modric, Touré, Pogba, Pirlo, Hazard, Cesc Fabregas, and Mesut Ozil.
I think we missed a few good ones.
I think we missed a few good ones. And
yeah, like, seriously.
And put Iniesta in there, I think.
Yeah, Touré. I mean, he's just, is anybody, are they watching the same game? Like, I think, and Paul Pogba is like, he is, to me, looks like a Touré, but with some, like a bit more Zidane-ish.
Right.
No, but yeah, Touré is just out of this world. Gotta be there. I mean, he's just so dominant.
Now, every year, well, every year when they do this, is it always a 4-4-3 formation, or they change the formations around to suit?
I think they try to manipulate it so we have, so they can fit who they want, kind of deal. But mm-hmm. I think traditionally, yeah, lately it's been a 4-3-3 kind of formation that they put in.
Okay.
I don't think we can argue with the top three that they have there, though, right?
Well, no, I mean, you can probably swap out Robin for someone else on the list,
yeah,
but
right.
you can still put Robin there. I mean,
yeah, you wouldn't have an argument there.
So the top three forwards were Ronaldo, obviously, Messi, obviously, Arjen Robben. And for the list of the forwards, you had Zlatan, you have Aguero, Bale, Benzema, Costa, Lewandowski, Neymar, Mueller, Rooney, Suarez, Ribery.
How do you leave out Mueller? Like, maybe Mueller goes instead of Robin. He did kind of win a World Cup, didn't he? I don't know.
Yeah, well,
he did set a record. Let's get the right guys in there. Hey, I don't know. Is it out of the realm to have a second team?
Well, definitely you could have a second team.
I mean, why not? If we were talking about being fan-friendly, then there you go, FIFA. You can make it. But again, we are dealing with Sepp Blatter.
I would have a substitute for every position, one substitute
yeah,
for every position.
Absolutely.
So you make
this
top 14 or whatever, and just have one guy for every position as a sub.
For
you
sure.
know what I mean? So that's what I would do. But
yeah,
again, for the forward position, you can't really argue.
No,
you can, but
sure.
The top two, Messi and Ronaldo, have to be there, and you can swap out Robin with Mueller or Neymar or Ribery, whoever, and it's fine.
Yeah,
you can put Robin there. I'm fine with Robin being there. It's no problem.
I am. I want Yaya Touré in my team.
Yeah, oh, me too.
He's revolutionizing playing that spot. Like, such a big man playing so many different ways and dominating. I mean, could we say that they don't win the Premier League without him? I think we can easily say that, right?
I think so. I think so, too.
Like, he's literally carrying these guys.
At some points last year, yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was, right? And banging in, great goals, scoring fantastic free kicks. I mean, a big man like that is not supposed to get the ball up and over like he does.
Right.
So I love you, Hunter. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he represents, what was stereotypically in the wrong way, obviously, said about African players, right, where they couldn't be that player in the middle of the park to do that. And I think, thankfully, that's just nonsense. It was nonsense before.
Right.
But I'm glad that he's really,
Right. I hear what you're saying.
Stamping that out.
I hear what you're saying. So, yeah, that's the top 11. And another thing that stood out to me is they're all from, they only pick players from three teams or four teams in the world.
And here we go again.
PSG, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, and Real Madrid. Those are the only teams they picked from.
And, I'm all about keeping maybe, Serie A, I get it. But the EPL, it's the FIFA 11. And what league is the most people in the world watching? Hey, guys, they're watching the English Premier League.
Not one player from there.
Come on. Again, gotta wonder, if we're doing an early one, maybe a mid-season report. I know, as of today, we're talking about FIFA 15. Might be Alexis Sanchez right in there, but anyhow.
We'll see what happens next year if he... If he's well, we'll see how he finishes this year, and we'll see what happens next year when he's going to be on the list next year. I don't know if he makes it in.
Him and Pogba, maybe we can archive this and see, right? And see, are we right with Pogba and Alexis Sanchez?
Yeah, we'll see. Moving on to the next subject in the news. For those of you that have been listening to previous podcasts, know I'm talking about Chet Evans an awful lot. Convicted rapist who's now about to come out of jail and wants to resume his playing career. I was able to find a clip online explaining his situation. Maybe I haven't explained it correctly, but here's a clip from a show on the BBC that was talking about Chet Evans.
He had been a star striker for Wales and Sheffield United, but he was convicted of rape in 2012 and sentenced to 5 years in jail. his victim had gone to a hotel with one of Evans' friends, who she met after a night out. Evans then arrived too. The judge said the victim was extremely intoxicated and was in no condition to consent to sex with Evans. He claimed she agreed to it. Evans' friend was cleared of any charge. Having served 2 years, Ched Evans will be coming out of jail imminently on parole and apparently wants to restart his footballing career. There have been reports that his old club, Sheffield United, are looking to sign him again. They haven't commented, but there has been public support for him from some.
We are a civilised society. As far as I'm concerned, if there is a penalty and that's been served, he should be allowed to assimilate back into society again. But I didn't know there was a law that said once you come out of prison, you still can't do anything.
But about 150,000 people have signed a petition calling on Sheffield United not to reinstate him. And
so that's a little bit of the background of the situation that I've been speaking about for a couple of shows now. And I gave you an update last week that Sheffield Wednesday didn't sign him. They succumbed to all the pressure that the fans and the women's group were putting on them, and they didn't end up signing him. So other teams were able to now talk to him, and he was in the process of signing with Oldham Athletic. And just last week, it looked like it was a done deal. This week, Oldham Athletic had pulled out of the talks, and that's done and dusted. Now, my stance on this was, I get rape, disgusting.
Yeah.
Don't support it, but
we're not gonna. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right, but I'm kind of.
I know I'm torn too, because just like it says in the clip, he did serve his time.
Yeah, he served his time, and he comes out, and it's like, what is he gonna do now? These guys. I mean, they've played soccer their whole life, you know what I mean? And it's not like they have anything to fall back on. So if this guy can't do what he's done his whole life, what's he going to really do?
Well, that's the thing. And I guess, you know, people won't want to hear it from us. And we get it. And like I said, we understand it. We got to look at the other side of it, where he has served his time. And if the courts, the system, the state, right, meaning government, says he's free to go, I mean, you know, is he still guilty? I mean, well, he was guilty. He served his time. I mean,
that's where I stand on it. I mean, if you come out and if you get 5 years and you do your 5 years or your 3 years or whatever, and you come out and maybe you can't walk right back into Manchester United. Maybe I get that high profile, but just like to play in a lower league.
Yeah, like, sorry, right? Like, does the FA like say, okay, well, you know, no, if you've had this, There's no precedent there.
No.
There's no lie. Like, we're not looking at, you know, by no means that they handled this with, like, what a debauchery it was in terms of the NFL. But at least these leagues in North America do have some rules that we can say, okay, well, we can't sign you because of such and such rules that we have, our code of conduct and our players' unions and so on. There's nothing like that.
Exactly.
From my understanding.
There isn't.
So, I mean, he...
But it's just the pressure that fans are... Oldham Athletic had 5,000 signatures on a petition saying they don't want this guy on their team.
Yep, and I would imagine that. Listen, he's going to sign somewhere. We know where. We know he is. I guess what we're saying is we just don't know where.
I know. I know what league he's going to.
Edgy? Drum roll.
I know what league he's going to go. I'm saying this now. January. What the hell's today? This 14th, 15th. I'm telling you right now, this guy will be in the MLS.
Yeah.
By July of this year, he will be in the MLS.
Yeah.
Maybe before that. When he realizes that no team in England, I don't think any team in England is going to be able to sign him. Not because he's bad, or not because he's a bad player or whatever.
It's just the public.
The public's not going to let anybody sign this guy. So you're going to come over to the United States, and Ched Evans, who the hell is that? No one's going to know this guy until you actually do research. You know what I mean? And people in America or North America are more of the, well, he served his time, you know, let him play type of attitude anyway.
This is, like I said, there's nothing in there that says that in their leagues that have a law, you know, a rule that is saying that they can't play if you are convicted of such. There's no code of conduct. Well, there isn't, right? So I don't see how, I don't know. I agree. Maybe you might be back here or you end up here, but North America. But I still don't think he's done in the UK.
This is second division teams that won't sign him. So teams that average 1,000 people per game can't sign him.
Are they going to go lower, right? Who knows?
I mean, it's people that don't even watch football signing these petitions. They don't want this guy to play. They don't want this guy to do anything. Yeah. They want him to sit at home and read books. You don't even watch football. Like, what does this matter to you? No, I'm a woman and he raped somebody. I don't want him to do anything. And it's just like, you can't have it like that.
No, especially like we said, if he served his time, I know we'll have probably backlash from this too, but we don't know. Like, how can you deny him this when there are no other, like we said, rules from the Football Association that says if you do commit a crime, you are not allowed to pursue your career? And there's nothing to our knowledge that says that.
No, there isn't. Not that I've saw in my reading anyway. So.
No, same, yeah.
So, I just wanted to get another person's view on it, because I talked about it and I tiptoed around it, because I personally believe that, like we've been saying 3 or 4 times, serve, you've done your time, come back and do whatever you need to do. But I just wanted someone else's opinion on it as well, let people know, because the next thing you know, you're going to start getting emails and they're pro-rape and all this shit. So.
No, yeah, I mean, listen, we'd be foolish to think that we're saying that, but we know people like that exist. But come on, he served his time.
So that's our Chet Evans update for the week. I'm probably going to have to do this every week because something else is going to come up. But We'll follow this to the end. Like I said, I think he's going to end up in the MLS this year. And give me until July, please, and we'll see where he is. Next, we're going to talk about the 5 transfer busts. And we're going to also talk about, we're going to finish our discussion about the transfer market for this year. So to start off this segment, we're going to talk about the 5 transfer busts in the last, I don't know how far we're going to go back, but the 5 biggest transfer busts in our minds.
Are interesting ones. I got some interesting ones.
Okay, so we'll start off with Joe's list.
Okay, in no particular order, here's my top 5. And again, I know people, these are a lot from other sources too, but this is what I think. Now, Ibrahimovic to Barcelona.
Yes.
So people might say, wow, he actually did pretty well there. But we all, a lot of people thought, I know he's a nomad, I know he goes from team to team, but I really thought he'd stay there a little bit longer. Player of his ilk to go there and not stick it out for more than a year, to me, that's a transfer bust.
Yeah, and he was coming from Serie A, where he was the man, right?
Yeah, you know, and I just think, oh, wait, man, come on. You know, like,
yeah, I know.
He was the big man who could play the Barcelona way.
Right.
You know, although he does still say it was more a personality thing between him and Pep, so I would like to see him more at Barca, but that, to me, that's a transfer bust.
And they would have had the ability to change up their style of play as well, because they could pump it into a target man who could lay it off and still play the 1-2 tiki-taka type of...
Yeah, you know, and I thought, again, my biggest thing with Ibrahimovic is why he could be so effective. We know why he's so good, but exactly that. He really, really takes the heat off you when you can't, you know, when you're pigeonholed, let's say. He allows you to break away from that, right? But
right.
Anyway.
Because you can't pump the ball into Messi from defense.
No, exactly.
So.
No, won't work.
I know. All right, so what do you have for number 2?
Oh, my next one's, I think my next 3 are, I love them. Diego, the Brazilian, to Juventus.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bust. Right? Yeah. Transfer bust.
Yeah.
Right, where did he come from? Werder Bremen?
Germany. Where are you? Wolfsburg or Werder Bremen? I think he's at Wolfsburg now.
Oh, yeah, he might have went back to Wolfsburg, but that was a bust. He was supposed to be the star. He was supposed to be the number 10 they were missing, and he was a bust just as they were. I think they finished 7th and 9th.
Those 2 years that he was there?
And he was a bust.
Yeah, I remember. Right? I remember.
We're going to stick with some Serie A. And this one was a huge bust in their efforts to replace Peter Schmeichel. I don't know if you remember this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Massimo Taibbi to Manchester United.
Who?
Exactly.
Right. I remember Roy Carroll. Who's this guy?
Massimo Taibbi. I think he came from Venezia. and he was all. He spent some time at AC Milan too. You know you're a bad goalie, Reg, when you wear a bad hat with a leather strap at the back.
Goalies don't wear hats anymore.
That's just you can't do that. I'm surprised Sir Alex didn't say, and I won't do the accent. Son, you got to go right from the training ground. But you signed me at Sir Alex. Yeah, we made a mistake. Like that's how day one should have went.
Oh, anyway, the Walter Zenga hat.
Man United. Or sorry, from Vicenza or Venezia. Either way, he should have went back.
He probably did.
And you'll love this one, Reg. I think you really like this one.
All right.
One of the many, but you remember him, I'm sure. Danielson to Real Betis.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we expected more from Danielson, did we not?
Well, Danielson was supposed to be the next number 10 from Brazil.
Right? Ronaldinho.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the next dribbler, the greatest dribbler from Brazil. Watch out for Danielson. I remember he was in some Nike commercials for that World Cup that year. I think it was 94, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be the next big thing out of Brazil.
And he just never was, right? And it's unfortunate because he did have a ton of talent.
Yeah, a ton of talent. He went. Where'd he go? Went to Germany? Did he go to Germany?
Yeah. He did end up in Germany. I'm going to say Leverkusen or something like that, but I might be off.
He did nothing, though.
Yeah, he just was. And then he was in France, I believe. And right. He just wasn't.
Wonder if these guys are still even playing, but anyways.
Yeah, real disappointment for his level of talent.
I thought you were going to say Danielson from Arsenal, because he sucked too.
There's been so many, right?
He sucks too.
Danielson's, I should say.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a bonus one for you too, Reg.
Okay.
So the next one I have is, again, part of that Diego awful Juventus mix. Felipe Melo. He was bad with Juventus.
Was he really?
Bad. Yeah, he went from Fiorentina, who was great, to Juventus. Bad.
He's still a hothead. Still makes terrible decisions to this day.
Is he in Galatasaray now?
Yeah, he's at Galatasaray. So I was watching him play against Arsenal. And just, he still makes bad decisions. And I remember when he was available from Fiorentina, there were a lot of people in Arsenal were like, "You should pick this guy up. We should pick this guy up." And it was just like,
"Yeah." Well, and you know, he had that brilliant year, didn't he? But he's put that year quickly to bed. And Reg, the bonus.
Felipe Melo.
I know you love the MLS.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
I mean, really? Big deal. Bloody bad deal. That is my bonus.
Well, I was talking to somebody about this today, and he was asking me why Defoe left. And I said, listen, Mr. Jermaine Defoe had one objective last season, and it was to make the English national team.
Exactly.
Where he was at Tottenham, he would be buried on the bench because there's about four forwards in front of him that would come on before him.
Anyway.
He wasn't going to Brazil. No shot. So what does he have to do? He has to leave there and go somewhere where he's going to be the star, and he's going to get his opportunity to play. And that was in the MLS. So he comes to the MLS, comes to Toronto, first game, bang, bang, bust two goals. I think he scored two goals in the first game.
Yeah, he did against the Sounders, right?
Against the Sounders. And now he's on the radar. He's on the radar for the English national team. Doesn't make the English national team. Now my groin hurts. Now my hamstring hurts.
I'm done.
I'm going to go to England to rehab. And we haven't seen him since.
No.
And that's the reason why. And it's the same thing with Julio. It's the same thing with Julio Cesar. He did the exact same thing. He made the Brazil national team, and it's, hey, you know what, guys? I'm not coming back. And TFC's like, what the hell are you talking about? Just, I'm not going to come back.
I think that what they should have done is they should have put, I hope they had a pretty prompt jet for him, Julio Cesar, Defoe. And I'm gonna say it, Tim Leiwicki, and get them the hell out of here.
Well, Leiwicki's another one.
This guy, what a clown this guy has been.
And for those of you that don't know, Leiwicki took over MLSC, he was the president of MLSC, which is the company that owns the Raptors, they own the Maple Leafs, they own TFC and the Marlies. And he was a brand new president who came in. He's like, we're going to change the view of the Toronto teams because
we're guaranteed we're making the playoffs.
We were a city of losers. Nobody makes the playoffs in our city. So, and the teams in our city don't make the playoffs. So he came in here, he's overhauling the Raptors, overhauling TFC. We're going to get Defoe, Bradley, da 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 da. And we did all that, and he guaranteed us the playoffs, and no playoffs. So,
and not even a year later, gone. He says he's out.
Yeah, you know what? He gets on the radio, well, not on the radio, but he has a press conference and says, you know what, guys, I'm done. Just yeah. Like, okay.
Come on. This is supposed to be the big time of big time sports executives, right? You can, you know, I'm sayonara. Good riddance. That's get out of here.
Terrible.
So,
but yeah, that's the Defoe story. I mean, I was hoping it wasn't true because when he was on the field, he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was. But if you don't want to be here, like you said, and you don't have an interest of being here, and you're self-serving interest, and not in a bad way, I got it. He wanted to play for his national team. Got it. Respect it.
No, but
when that was done, that was it. He was ready to go.
Question I have for you: if he makes the national team, does he stay on TFC? If he plays in that World Cup, does he stay with TFC? I accomplish my goal.
I think he would almost feel like, I know there's no loyalty in sports by no means, but I think absolutely he would. I think he got some bad information, right? I think just an opinion. I think he was told that, yeah, sure. I mean, there's no way he doesn't ask Roy Hodgson or the guys in England, say, hey, if I make a move to across the pond, are you guys still going to look at me? There's no way he doesn't.
Right.
And, you know, and what are they going to say? Well, no, they said, well, what if this guy goes there and bangs in 20 goals? Can we say no?
Exactly.
So I'm sure they, you know, gave him the, hey, we'll see. No, we can never say never kind of story. And quickly when that didn't happen, I think he said, well, I'm out of Toronto.
I hurt my hamstring. I'm going to rehab in England. And that was 5 months ago.
That's it.
And no one's seen him since.
And that's it.
So, whatever. He signed for Sunderland now, I believe.
Yeah.
Or we'll get into that.
We have Jose Altidore coming back.
We'll get into
it. Great goal-scoring record.
We'll get into that. Oh, my God. I don't believe it. But anyways, he's a DP too, isn't he, Altidore?
Yes, sir.
You got it. Yeah, so that's your boss, Latin, Diego Taibbi. Is that his name?
Taibbi.
Okay. Danielson and Felipe Melo, and our bonus is Jermaine Defoe. So
always going to leave you with a bonus.
Yeah, okay. We'll take it. So there's our five transfer busts in the past. So next week we'll have a different top five. Not sure what it is. We'll discuss it, and then we'll hit you with it next week. Now we're going to end off the show speaking about the transfers that we didn't get to last week. Transfer window's still open. Not a lot of movement.
No.
I think it's more of teams are starting to, before the transfer market, it was, you know, as soon as a window opens, it's money flying everywhere. And it's nicknamed the silly season. Everybody goes crazy. But now I think people are kind of guarded and waiting for a team to make a splash and then see what's left and, you know, let Chelsea overpay for somebody, and then we'll see where the player that we want falls in that category of money, and then we can determine whether it's worth it or not.
So teams are
starting to, you know, let someone else set the bar on how much a striker is going to be, and then we'll determine how much we're going to pay for your caliber of striker. So
right, if they're going to play a silly game, are they going to get into the silly game or not?
Exactly.
The nonsense mambo.
Right, exactly. We have a signing, a pretty big signing in the EPL.
We talked about this one last week as a potential signing.
Talked about it last week, exactly. Wilfred Bony from Swansea and Ivory Coast.
I rate him.
Sorry?
I rate him.
Yeah, exactly. And he has gone ahead and signed with Manchester City. And we spoke about the problems that Manchester City is going to have picking a striker, but yeah, I don't get paid enough money to figure it out, so I'll let Pellegrini do that.
And we don't have we don't have all that money that they're paying him, so they can figure it out.
They can figure it out, most definitely. The fee was around £28 million.
Wow.
He becomes the most expensive African player in history.
Pretty significant.
Yaya Toure at $24 million from Man City to from Barcelona to Man City was the last one, and then Essien before that, and from Lyon to Chelsea.
Now that's a bargain now, if you look at it now, for Toure.
Oh, yeah, 24 million?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To get a player of that caliber, yes.
Oh, wow.
That does what he does on the field, 24 million, yes. That is a bargain. That is a bargain. But, yeah, so I don't, like we said, yes, last week, I don't know where this guy, how this guy's going to get, where they're going to slot him in. And, you know, so now the first domino has dropped, and now Wilfred Bony is 28 million. So now if you're looking at another striker who has similar statistics or maybe even lower statistics, it's got to be less than that, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see some other strikers make moves in the next coming weeks. Who knows? We'll see. But like we said earlier, it's kind of slow. Not really much going on. Just a bunch of rumors going on in all leagues right now. Teams desperately need certain positions and still not making moves. Arsenal. But we're going to talk about the Serie A, maybe a little bit of La Liga. Get to some of those rumors that are flying around. And I know there's a couple of rumors coming out of Juve, Juventus. So if you want to hit that.
And some other teams that were actually linking some moves from the Serie A to the EPL.
Right.
Interesting. Should we get right into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
So why don't I start with something that maybe would be near and dear to you. You probably have already heard, but the ongoing goalkeeper issue at Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
Or underperforming, they're calling it. But I guess Italy's up-and-coming number one, Mattia Perin.
Right.
Genoa is being linked with a move to Arsenal.
Right.
So I don't know how true that is. I like that, Reg. I rate this guy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit more out of the ilk of David De Gea with a little bit more toughness is what I would call him.
So you don't have to wait 2 years for this guy to figure it out?
No, I think he's figured it out. I think you're okay.
Okay.
I think he's going to easily be Buffon's replacement as Italy's number one.
Okay.
Many people think he should be now, but I think that's a great move. Also hearing, again, from the sources in the Italian papers that if you think, like I said before, if we think the UK sources are wacky, wow, we didn't see nothing yet. Mauro Icardi, who's in his own right a wacky kind of guy, from Inter, the Argentinian-born striker,
mm-hmm.
formerly of Sampdoria, now with Inter, is being linked with a possible move to Chelsea, which I don't get.
Striker?
Yeah.
To Chelsea? But,
yep, and I think Manchester United is throwing their hat in the mix too, which you would obviously assume that maybe Falcao might be on his way out.
Oh, I definitely believe Falcao's on his way out.
Right, so they're looking at Icardi, but I don't know.
Well, you don't really have a striker in Manchester City. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things to keep someone away from someone. I don't get it, but that's what we're hearing too. And a possible big move for him too, a big money move.
Wow.
Obviously, it would be. I mean, that. So not sure there. Samuel Eto'o is about really, really close to inking a deal with Sampdoria.
Oh, really? Back to Italy.
It's pretty close, and I guess the African striker, superstar, is going to be looking to end his career there. I think I love Eto'o, respect him a lot, but I think he's seen better days.
No, 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 he's not going to end his career there. We all know where he's going to end his career. Okay?
I think so, too.
And it's going to be for the New York Red Bulls, so...
Yeah, I agree, yeah. What am I saying, yeah? I should have known.
There's still another level to go, buddy. Still one more
that's
level
true.
To go down. So
yeah, that's true. That is true.
So
there's also a guy that I thought would get more of a chance, especially with the team totally on the rebuild, and that's Niang from AC Milan.
Oh yeah,
being linked to Newcastle.
Loan or permanent?
It looks like it might be a loan with a.
Option to buy?
Yeah, and a strong option to buy.
Because I think Papi Cisse is leaving Newcastle to go to fill in for Wilfred Bony at Swansea.
That's right. I was reading that as well.
So to get Niang there would be probably, is he still raw? I haven't really watched him play. Is he still raw? Because I remember when he was playing for AC.
And I just think he needs to play.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been given a chance to play.
Yeah, he still doesn't play. He's at AC now, no?
He is, and you'd think that with their struggles all over the pitch.
He doesn't play?
Really should have given him a chance to play.
Wow.
Okay. So, and actually, the guy that everybody wants, Manchester United, Chelsea, is Pablo Dybala.
Right.
And this kid is a player.
Yeah, eh?
He's a player. I mean, playing with Palermo, which is, again, very small, one of your smallest Serie A clubs, newly promoted this year, he is giving the big clubs a fit. And the move is looked to be worth around $30 to $35 million to the Red Devils. And here's where you have Chelsea knocking on the door as well. And it kind of maybe like a counter kind of block, if you will, right?
Right.
So, but Pablo Dybala, I think it's Pablo, but it's Dybala for sure. And he is a player.
Heard his name?
A Luis Suarez kind of without the shenanigans, shall we say.
Okay. Because I heard his name a lot, even with Arsenal, I've heard his name. But
he'd be a great fit in Arsenal.
Yeah. I was always meaning to watch clips of him, but I never got around to it. So he is a player, right?
He's a player. Okay. He absolutely is a player. And I've watched him, and I've actually watched him undo the big sides this year, and he is a handful.
So you don't think he'll stay in Italy? Maybe go to Juve or Inter?
I think he won't, Reg, because that's the nature of the beast, if you will, of the survival, I should say, the survival method of these smaller clubs, especially in Italy. And they're a small southern club. And for them to survive, they have to sell this guy, right?
Right.
And they would sell him and get $30 million.
For Palermo, that's probably big money, right?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So I don't really have anything else in...
gave some good nuggets there.
Yeah, for sure.
That's educated. But that's as good. That's the stuff I'm hearing. The rest is a lot of
fluff.
Smoke and mirrors. Oh, Reggie, but we do need to talk about one guy.
What's that?
Signed a comeback deal today.
Who?
The original phenomenon, El Phenomenal, Ronaldo.
Oh, fuck.
NASL for Fort Lauderdale.
Yo, I saw a picture of Ronaldo. He ain't playing in that league, man. This guy has to lose about 100 pounds.
He's starting our Friday night beer league.
He has to lose like 100 pounds, man.
At that weight. Jesus. I'm like, wow, Fort Lauderdale Kickers, I believe. I want to call them. And even if they're not called that, let's do it.
He's a Fort Lauderdale Kickers. he's one of the owners, right? So he's trying to get back into shape to probably sell tickets. I don't know, man. But
I think what I heard was because he heard that they give out juice boxes at halftime to players that he would like to ensure that he will be one of the recipients of
a juice box.
And from what I'm hearing, sources are telling me there might be maybe a Krispy Kreme on the bench there for him because the Brazilian lad, he actually, he's not sick of them. So just what I'm hearing.
Krispy Kreme and juice boxes, eh?
I mean, that's Ronaldo enough. Says, yes, sir.
Yeah, that guy, he can't play. I mean, to do keep-ups and stuff, no problem. But to run around the no chat, buddy, it'll take him 2 years to get back into shape.
Unbelievable. I couldn't believe when I heard that.
2 years to get back into shape. But we still, I thought you were going to hit me with this, but we still have to talk about, I was going to say our beloved team, but it's not mine. And people that listen know it's not mine. The Toronto FC. And they made a move this week, which is going to be completed tomorrow, I believe. And this player is going to be introduced to the Toronto media tomorrow at a press conference.
How are they going to do it? Are they going to say, shh, it's not that big a deal, but come anyway? What are they going to do?
This one's not such a bloody big deal, eh?
Yeah, are they going to just, have everybody come on the radio and go, okay, guys, it's this way? What? How do they approach this? Hey, guys, no, we messed up, but hey, we got this guy anyway.
Yeah, I know, and it's just it's typical TFC nonsense.
Or are they
going to
start with their video montage of all his goals for the national team?
All three of them?
Yeah. So I don't know how it's going to go.
Well, for those of you that haven't heard, Toronto FC has pretty much swapped Jermaine Defoe for. I wish I had a drum roll sound effect. Maybe I'll get it for next week.
Well, a roll.
For,
maybe get a roll. from Ronaldo. Dinner roll. From
Ronaldo. No kidding. We'll do a dinner roll. Jozy Altidore has swapped places with Jermaine Defoe and is now a Toronto FC player. A designated player for Toronto FC. A designated player for Toronto FC.
I don't even know how much time I want to spend on this guy. I mean, I think it's because it's coming from Jermaine Defoe. We're going from Jermaine Defoe to him.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me that he was going to be on the roster, I'd say, great. That's good signing.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going from where we were, this organization has to do a lot. This is like the, no shit Sherlock area. They got to do a lot to win us back and believe that they're actually going to do something.
Listen. And I'll give you like a quick 2-3 minute rant about these guys. Listen, I was TFC season tickets. Okay, when they first started, I was there. And I was there up until about 2 years ago. Okay? You just said it. They're going to have to do a lot to get me back. And I mean, making the playoffs is not enough for me at this point.
Not with what they thought they were, not with what they were promising.
Well, even if they come and make the playoffs this season, it doesn't mean I'm going to be any more interested next season.
Yep.
From a team that's been around for what? Is this their ninth year? It has to be their ninth year.
Their ninth year.
Because if there was their 10th year, we'd have a big celebration about everything.
Oh, yeah. And then it'd be a bloody big deal
again. So it's got to be their ninth year. So it's their ninth year, and they're on what? 11th coach?
Yeah. 10th
coach?
12th.
12th coach now? And I'm telling you right now, the coach that they have right now ain't going to last either.
Yeah. I mean, unless something drastic changes.
These guys figure it out, like the Raptors and Dwayne Casey, but I don't see this guy lasting the whole season either. And if you bring in a Jozy Altidore, you're going to have to get rid of one of your DPs, and the DP they're looking to get rid of is Gilberto.
Yeah.
And that's one of the guys that I actually liked on this team.
Yeah, same. I thought that he first of all, he lasted the year.
He didn't.
He got
better
as the year went on. I mean, he just...
Fast, strong, it's just gonna fall into like you let Laba go and now you're gonna let Gilberto go. These are two players that are gonna he's gonna find another team in the league and he's gonna light it up and we're gonna be stuck with Jozy Altidore.
Yeah, it's true. I agree.
And we're paying him all this money, designated player money. I just don't think that's the right guy to bring in. If you have Jermaine Defoe as a chip and you want to swap him or trade him or do whatever you want to do, I think you can do way better than Jozy Altidore. Personally, that's what I think.
Oh, I think so, too.
And Jozy Altidore is looking at this like, I'm going to make how much? In North America, I can make that? Oh, yeah. No, hey, where's the pen?
Well, here's the thing. I think when everyone asks, how could Michael Brown, 6 million reasons why he signed
him. Well, exactly. Why would you go from Serie A?
We're going to six times your salary. You're going to be back in North America where your family's from.
Right.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, Jozy Altidore is not playing at Sunderland.
Right.
So you're going to ask him to come back here and make his money as a DP? They're coming back. Like, they're thinking, yeah, of course. For on their side, we understand it. On our side, the fan side, the TFC side, gotta wonder. So it's one of those things where you say, okay, well, if they get it right and he does it, great. But a lot of us are chomping at the bit to say, what the hell did you think was going to happen?
Well, it's just... Joe, you watch soccer. I watch soccer. You've seen him play.
Again, I just don't see it. Well, I shouldn't say I don't see it. It's typical MLS, and it's even more typical Toronto FC. So, now, today was the draft. We had a Canadian. I think maybe we can hold. we don't give too much love to MLS. We had a Canadian go number one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We had Kyle Larin to. Orlando. Toronto FC solidified two homegrown boys today. Signed them. I'm cheering for them personally, but is it exactly what the club needs right now? Listen, club needs to make the playoffs. They need to make the damn playoffs. So yeah, I'm all about helping the youth. We got to make the damn playoffs.
But Joe, this is what I'm saying. I mean, we're at a point now where it's like, okay, make the playoffs and everything's okay.
Exactly. And it's become a Toronto Maple Leaf mentality, hasn't
it? I don't want to just make the playoffs. I don't want to make the playoffs and get swept.
And the moves that they made, should not. The playoffs should have been the bare minimum.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now it's the goal.
This organization, this club should be retooling at this time to make a run. That's what it should have been. So again, the half-assed backwards thing to me with TFC is kind of exactly what that. This entire organization, and having a little bit of knowledge in what they're doing at the grassroots level, this is what they should have been doing 8 years ago.
Right.
So we are way behind other clubs. Way behind.
And
so today they saw they draft Skylar Thomas from Syracuse.
That's the goalie, right?
And that's Alex Bono, yeah, from Syracuse. The goalie, too, so his teammate.
Okay.
Which many people rate the best goalie, you know, one of the best goalies in the draft, right? And Skylar Thomas, center back from Syracuse, from Ajax, Ontario. And they also signed on a HG, I think it's a homegrown contract, Jay Chapman from Ajax, Ontario, or from played in Ajax club, and was a Canadian youth national product as well. Central midfielder from Michigan State.
Do these players make the team, or are they going to play sit in the academy?
Reg, my guess is they end up in the USL Pro team.
Yeah.
Right, because now Toronto FC, you have for the first year, will have a USL Pro squad.
Mm-hmm.
Coached by Jason Bent.
Probably be better for them to start there anyway, right?
Absolutely, right? So I think that's where you'll see Bono, Skylar Thomas, and Jay Chapman. But again, the goal, that's great. That's fantastic. Want to step the grassroots, want to get that going. He needs to make the damn playoffs. And not just make it. He needs to be impactful in the playoffs.
I want to win a round. If you want to be successful, to me, you got to win a round of the playoffs.
Absolutely.
You don't make it to the finals? Okay, that's fine. Whatever. Lots of teams don't make it to the finals. But you have to win a round. I'm sorry.
Exactly. And for once and for all, if you're coming into BMO Field, it's got to be a tough place to come and get points.
Well, it should be. In March and April and October, it should be a terrible place to come to get points.
Absolutely.
Because of the weather.
And I'm done with moving these games into Rogers Center.
Oh, buddy. In March, we should be outside.
Oh, that's what it should be. And we should have two or three home games in March.
Yeah, we're on the road for the first seven. Well, we're on the road for the first seven games because they're expanding the stadium for a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in 9 years. Someone's making money.
Typical MLS.
Oh my God! I couldn't believe it. You're expanding
even
the stadium.
More typically, TFC.
Well, how could you expand a stadium? You're not a successful team. Like how are you? Oh my God! I don't know, man. Well, I do know, but. I don't know what people are thinking, man. If I'm making money and I'm a garbage football team, I'm hiding that money. I'm not saying let's expand the stadium. I'm just saying let's just keep the money quiet. And then when we start to get better, then we can start putting things in. You know what I mean? Expanding the stadium, that means is there that much demand for TFC tickets in the city? I got to put more seats in? I don't think so, man, because when the games that I went to, the place wasn't packed anyway. So Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the place is pretty three quarters full. Wow. And now you're going to put in another, what, 10,000 seats? I don't know. Yeah, I just don't understand, man. Like, three quarters of the stadium was full the last time I was there, and you're going to put in another 10,000 seats. I don't get if there's that much demand for this football team, because... People like me, you, were frustrated to the point where it's like, I'm not shelling out this much money to come watch this garbage. But anyways, we'll keep our eye on that TFC saga with the Jozy Altidore signing this week, or tomorrow, actually. And next week, we'll discuss a little bit more about TFC. And if any transfers or anything like that come up, we'll definitely discuss that, and we'll hit you with the news as well. So, as usual, thanks for listening to the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie, and our co-host, Joe.
Thanks, and remember, it might be a pretty good deal. Big, I don't know what kind of deal it's going
to
be.
No, it's not going to be a bloody big deal, I can tell you
anything.
That. Anyway. So, as usual, thanks for listening to the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.
See ya.